All right, good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody today? Good? All right, let me just be in prayer real quick before we start. Heavenly Father, good morning and thank you for this morning. Thank you for the body of Christ that we're here together, fellowship, learning your word. Also, just thankful that you saved us, sinners, lost, destined to be doomed, and you've gave up your son's life to save our past, present, and future sins, that we are forgiven, and that we have that heavenly hope, and we're grateful for that today, and we just want to let the word speak for itself, and give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good morning, good morning. So, last time I taught, we were doing a resurrection, but I'm going through Colossians, and we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, and a lot of these verses hit home, and they hit the family, they hit just things that the family of the body of Christ should know. Because in the world, we get these mixed up, and they're indoctrinating, you know, the country and the world, and what is and what's not. And today, we want to find out what is, and what does God have to say about this. These few verses, we find them in Ephesians as well, and we'll probably get to that later and kind of see that Ephesians and Colossians are companion books. And what we see in Colossians, we see in Ephesians, and there's just another way of comparing scripture with scripture. So I'm just going to get into it. So Colossians chapter 3 verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So that's kind of self-explanatory, that wives should submit and voluntarily submit to their husbands because the Lord sees it fit. We know that in the world today, women want to veer away from that. Also, it's natural that women want a man to direct them. You know, it would be natural. You know, sometimes the flesh, they try to fight it, but there are helpmeets. You know, the husbands and wives, that they're a helpmeet, and they, you know, men are the spiritual leaders of the household, as we know. And if a woman holds that attitude and position, she would be happier. You know, if she sees that the man is the head of the household, it will definitely make them. And if the man is doing what he's supposed to be doing, you know, because a lot of times that the man isn't, so a woman could kind of feel discouraged about that. But if the man is doing what he's supposed to do, then why not the woman follow? And as the Lord sees fit. You know, we know that a lot of women want to establish equality, and, you know, which in turn wants to make them superior over their husband at times. And, you know, God says otherwise. God says that a wife should submit. A true believing woman will want to obey God and will want to be subject to her husband. There's order. Now, in these verses, you know, it talks about the husbands and the children and fathers. And in these verses, that it goes from the weaker to the weaker to the stronger. So the wife to the husband, the child to the father, and then servants to the masters that we'll see here. And it's in the world, we want things to be orderly because that's how good society works. And in the family, this is the order that the Lord has chosen for us today. And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, this is a verse that I never forgot because Dave Stewart, I heard him preach on this verse, and it never left my mind. And I do want to send a shout out to all the people before me, all the people that I've learned off of, because I'm still learning off of them. You know, all the teachers I want to give them honor today, because I'm still learning off them. I'm learning off their commentaries. I watch their videos. It's all for the glory of the Lord, but I apply some of these techniques that they do, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the body of Christ and for everybody here, and I'm learning off of everybody, and I just want to give a shout out to that. But in this 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, you know what, let's just do verse 7. Verse 1 real quick. Ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also might without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Let's jump down to verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. We're supposed to honor our wives, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. God here calls the woman the weaker vessel. And I've learned, and when I heard Dave Stewart teach on this, that it's that men and women are of equal value. Just one, and he was saying that you have two precious things. You have two precious things, you know, representing the woman and a man, and the weaker vessel, one can withstand the weather outside. You would have it could be outside, but the one can't be outside. And he was saying that the weaker vessel would break, but it's still of equal value. You know what I mean? Men and women are we're equal value to the Lord. So we're not getting that a man is above a woman, and it's just we have different roles, and the Lord calls it the weaker vessel, and in that, just in that way. And that, I thought that was a good illustration that Dave did. It always stuck to my mind that, you know, we're of equal value. So, let's go back to Colossians. Then we're going to kind of jump around for a little bit. Hopefully that made sense, because I kind of chopped that up. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Okay, now we're going to get to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So that bitter is you don't want to be sour or harsh towards them. Obviously, men shouldn't be a tyrant and be have an abusive rule, you know, but men are supposed to give up their lives and love their wives. Amen. You know, and that's what God is charging us. You know, sometimes women will say or do something that the man doesn't understand. They might make him lash out or be impatient, but men, we shouldn't hold grudges. We should be loving and patient as Christ is loving and patient for us. Men and women should be giving themselves up for each other. Love towards your wives is, I have 5 points here, that love towards your wives should be a willingness to forgive. Causes one to give up life to the point of death, that we should be able to give our lives up for our woman. Be unchangeable and permanent. We should keep that love as the Christ loved the church and loved us. We should do that for our women. Show mercy and discipline and train to be more like the Lord. You know, these are the love that extends to women, which is should be a deep, passionate love. And that men and women, you know, we're always going to have a difference in the household, but be patient, because sometimes you're wrong, the men are wrong. You know what I mean? I catch myself and I'm wrong, and I admit to it, and then I say you're right, and everything's good. But I still, even sometimes she's wrong, and I still gotta love her unconditionally as Christ loved us. So I wanted to say that, and Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness be put away from you, wrath and anger." The Christian should not be bitter toward anybody, especially not their wives. You know, so Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives. You know, that's it. It's a plain commandment, simple. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just to kind of see a position. And like I said, I'm going to go to Ephesians, and it's basically close to a mirror image of what we're going through in Colossians. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And remember, this is scripture. This is not me saying it. This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying it. So, you know, this is God. The Apostle Paul is writing through this with the revelation of the Lord. Because what does Paul say? That these are our commandments. You know, these are the commandments of the Lord. Verse 3, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." So we have a head, which is Christ. "And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." So we have a kind of a little hierarchy thing going there. And it's, you know, the head of Christ is God. The head of the woman is man. And the head of man is Christ. And we have a thing there that I just wanted to kind of see that, so we could see what scripture has to say about, because the world wants to say otherwise all the time. The world wants to do contrary to what God's word says. And I also wanted to expound that Christians, we have a servant type relationship with each other. And husbands, we should serve our wives. You know, we should be in service of where, you know, as a leader, leading is to serve. You know, it's not just being a leader and being the boss and pompous and, you know, barking orders. We're supposed to be an example to lead and be an example. Be like, look, that guy's leading in his service. He's serving others and leading, and that's what the Lord Jesus did. As we know that when he was on earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John give him the four different attributes. One was God, one was that he came as a man, one was he came as a king, and one that he came as a servant. Amen. You know, and that's, so he wasn't just being pompous and, you know, I'm the son of God. He was serving his created beings at times, you know, loving them. And that was, and we can be grateful for that. So, back to Colossians. All right. So now we've seen with our wives, seen our the husbands, and now let's see with children. Verse 20, Colossians chapter 3. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." So when children obey their parents, it's very pleasing unto the Lord. I'm grateful to know that I have two stepchildren, that they obey their parents. They do a very good job at it. I'm grateful. You know, it makes me happy. It makes the household happy. I actually went through these verses with them, you know, and went with the family, because I just thought it was a good thing to kind of renew ourselves with and to see. It's not me saying it. It's not the man down the street. It's what God says about that situation. So, and this word children doesn't just mean small children. It means grown adults, you know, as well. Us as grown-ups. I've seen grown-ups be nasty to their parents. I've seen it firsthand. And me, myself, have been bogus to my parents. You know, I've been very not nice to my mother, my father. And sometimes it may be difficult for children to understand the wisdom of their parents. Most of the time, it's for their good. If a parent is telling their children to sin or do something morally wrong, then it would be wise to listen to what God says. Let God take control from there and pray about it, because sometimes these things happen. I don't know the full extent of what I can say about that, but that's all I can say. You let God handle it and pray about it, you know, because there's times where that stuff happens. So if you have a strict parent, know that they are creating order for you. Even if you feel they don't understand you or that they are wrong, listen to them for the Lord's sakes. Honor them. Even if it, you know, even if you think that they're wrong or something, just listen to them. You know, they care about you. And as you grow older, you become wiser and you learn that what's wrong and right. And you just be grateful that your parents had the right intention just to try and be there for you, you know. And look past, well, they did this and they did this. Well, they did it because they thought that's what was right. Even though it might have been wrong, you need to see that for yourself and forgive and be forbearing. Children should learn to obey in a home so that later they learn how to give commands justly. So even when they go out to the world and they see that, you know, in order to lead, I have this quote, in order to lead, you must first learn how to serve. You must first learn how to follow. And so when you follow in these, you know, in these things, that it would be well with you. So let's see. Do it for your parents, for your own sake, and for Christ's sake. So you will be grateful when you get older, or even for the grown-ups. Your parents ultimately are trying to look out for you. And 2 Timothy, let's just go there. To kind of 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 1. And this is kind of what if for disobedient children, this is kind of an indication. This is a list. And this is a list that we do not want to be part of. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a scary list, but this is what is going on here in the world today, and it's going to grow and grow and grow. We'll just kind of go over it. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. See, they don't want to serve others. They want to serve themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Wow, that you just, like I said, this list is pretty crazy. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So that's a list that when children are disobedient, that's that. This is when you don't want to be in order and listen to our fathers and mothers, this is a kind of indication that this runs off. Or you're being taught to be this way, you know. You can be taught to be this way, to be false accusers, to be fierce, you know, without love, disobedient to parents. So, for parents, we don't want to teach our children to be that way. And thank God, you know, my parents didn't teach me to be that way, you know. And I was still disobedient, and I was living in the flesh, and grateful that I'm here now. So, let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. I think, let's see, fathers. So now we're with the fathers here. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This happens a lot, that fathers, you know, provoke and poke, and they don't want to find solutions how to discipline their children, or who knows? There's a lot of things, but we don't want to provoke the children toward anger. And I think the only reason God singles out fathers and not mothers is because men are the head of the household, you know, responsible for the conduct of the home. That's the only thing I can think why he didn't bring up the mothers. I believe a true father will discipline and train his children, but will not needlessly irritate them, but encourage them. Like I said, my father, he did the best that he can in his circumstance, but he kept me straight with the Lord. He always would bring up the Lord, and I'm totally grateful for my father today, because, you know, that's what he always brought it up, talked about it, kept me on track with that, and probably one of the reasons why I'm here today, because of my father. And I just want to, if he's listening, I want him to know that I'm thankful for him. So, you know, I was a bad kid. I was mean to my mother for years. Finally changed and understood, because I didn't understand. I didn't want to, you know, to heed to that order that they were trying to say. There's an order. Children, obey your parents and your father and thy mother. And if you just obey them, you won't have the sorrow that comes with it when you're older in life, or when you get older. Because that's what it was. It was sorrow, you know. She wanted my parents to discipline me the best way that they can. And I'm grateful, and I'm in a better place now, just because, even though they were showing me that and I veered off, it's them teachings that they probably were still in the back of my mind and my subconscious, and I came back. And I'm grateful for the Lord on that. Let's see Proverbs 22, verse 6. And a lot of these verses we know, but I'm just going to them just so we can have proof. Tangible evidence. And I probably could have just quoted it, but Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So I think that's a little bit of what I was saying. They trained me, kind of veered off a little bit, but I didn't depart. He came back, and with the help of my family and friends and, you know, the church family now, when I came back, you know, I listened to Pastor Paul Belbach, and he was saying that church is important. And I see, for some reason, it hit me. I came to church, and I see it, and I feel it. I'm grateful for everyone here. Everyone has, this church is full of love and full of grace and wanting to be better in the Lord. You know, and there's no other place I'd rather be. So I'm grateful for all you guys. Let's go back to Colossians. Verse 22. So now we went from wives to husbands, children to fathers, and now servants. All right. So we kind of expounded on the Lord Jesus Christ as being a servant, but I think here, I mean, it could pertain to, you know, in the workforce, but I think here, this one's talking about bond servant, you know, just a. Because back in the day, if you were in debt, you had to sell yourself as a slave so the master can pay off the debt. Sometimes masters are cruel. Sometimes they're nice. We have the book of Philemon, which talks about Onesimus, that Onesimus ran away from his, you know, from Philemon. He wronged him. I think he stole something. And Paul was writing back saying, oh, well, you know, forgive him or whatever. But he was a slave, Onesimus. He was a servant. And sometimes they're cruel. And some we have a lot of examples of what slavery really, how cruel it can be. You know, and you have some forms of slavery that I guess they take care of the people that work for them. So, I think that's what he's getting at is here. And as children are to be obedient to parents, slaves are to be obedient to masters. And I know that sounds crazy, but let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. verse 1. Let 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. That's saying, when you're under their yoke, count your masters worthy of all honor. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So he's saying, you know, that if you have good masters, you know, give them honor. You know, to give them the respect that they deserve because they are brothers and sisters in Christ. And what we're going to get to in a moment, that God is no respecter of no man. God sees the king, the kings and the servants the same. He sees everyone the same. He's not, oh, just because you got authority don't mean nothing. You still have to be saved through the blood of Christ. You still have to be under me. The Christ says you have to be subject unto me. So whether you have money and he doesn't, whether you got a position and he doesn't, you're still going to be the same to me. So, and we'll get to that. But let's go back to Colossians. Yeah, we're doing a lot of jumping around, but I kind of just wanted to go into these verses a little bit because maybe somebody listening and they can get, they hear something that might get to them, you know, and come to the knowledge of the truth and to serve the Lord more. Because I guess that's our objective, right? To learn more, to offer ourselves more. And if somebody can learn, hey, grace, you know, and they get saved off of what we're saying, then we're doing God's work. Back to Colossians chapter 3, verse... Well, I didn't even read it. Verse 22. Wait, did I read? I think I did. Yeah. All right, let's go to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. He might be going off on servants here still, but... we're not doing it for men. We don't do things for men. We do things for the Lord. We don't do it for our bosses. You know, we don't do it for our best friends. We do things for the Lord. Even though we love them and want to help them, all glory goes to the Lord. Because obedience to God supersedes obedience to man. Period. There's no around that. And if you know you're being obedient to God, then you're in the right place. You know, and that's, he wants all that glory. And we have a God that loves and gives us peace. And he just wants us to serve him and give him glory. I mean, to me, that's not a bad transaction there, you know. Whatever you do, I pray at all times, so anything you do, do it for the Lord. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. See, we serve the Lord, and with this inheritance, we got verses like Ephesians 1:14, 2 Corinthians 1:22, but I think this inheritance is received by the believers. You know, we're believers, and we receive an inheritance, and eternal life. You know, we get a changed, new body, glorified and resurrected. You know, and we have a heavenly position, and we are fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word always gets to me. I mean, it's like he really saved us, Gentiles. You know, people that were considered heathen, sinners. And said, hey, well, I'm going to save you and I'm going to give you a fellow ruling with me in heaven. Our Creator thought of us that way. And I don't hear no other religion, no other belief system out there that kind of gives you the same hope to look forward to, you know. And I'm just grateful for that. And God will reward both masters and servants. Everybody gets their, you know, he'll reward them both. And like I said, there's no respect of persons with God. Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. For there is no respect of persons. There we go. Like I said, there's no master or servant with God. Ultimately, we serve Christ. God judges all men equally in this present dispensation, whether they are masters, slaves, Jews, or Gentiles. There's no position above. And this goes to all the religious leaders, all the royals, all the big tech guys, all the richest people in the world, down to the poorest person in the world. God's going to judge us all equally in this present dispensation. Because you think you have a spot, you're going to get away with stuff. That's not the truth at all. You know, you ain't getting away with nothing. God knows all the secrets of men. And he's infinite. He knows all your deepest, dark secrets. He knows. And just because someone is really famous on TV, he sees them too. And he's got, and if they're not saved, then they're doomed, just like the rest of us. Just like the rest of whoever don't want to believe in the saving gospel. Alright, so that chapter 3 is done. So I'm going to try and hit from verse 1 through 6. Just to kind of, because I think the next time I teach, we're going to finish up Colossians. And after 6, it kind of names a bunch of names like Epaphras and Onesimus. It gets into the different words. But we're definitely going to be closing up Colossians here soon. But let's see verse 1. So this is the one where I think he's talking about like a, you know, paid transaction workers. So masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. You see, there, the Lord is the master of everyone. So I'm lucky to work with my cousin, and he's gives equally and justly. You know, he's a good guy to work for, and I'm grateful for him. So sometimes there's some bad work, bad bosses out there, right? And there are. I've seen them. I've worked for some, and I still am grateful for them, because I still learn from them, and they still help me, even though they were the way they were. So there's always, I don't know if there's a Bible verse, but when there's something bad's happening, something good's happening. You just have to find the good in it, you know. There's always something that you could find opportunity in, even in the bad that's happening in the world. Or something that happened to you, instead of focusing on, woe is me and all that. You can find the good in the world. And you can find the good in the situation. So that being said, there is to be an obedience in the workplace and to your employer, because you are really working for God, you know. And masters, the masters are servants to Christ, all of us. Verse 2, continue in prayer. And this is the Apostle Paul just wrapping everything up, you know, what he's obviously in prison, and he's just got all this love for this Colossae church. He's just wrapping all this up. Continuing prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Persevere in prayer. Continue in prayers daily. Sometimes we forget to pray. I know sometimes we forget and forgetful, but there's many things to pray for. There's many things. We could pray for our family, friends, our jobs, our people's health. We could pray for just being thankful. We can just pray just to, hey God, how you doing? Love you. And just, you know, just that's that connection that we have with the Lord. It's personal communication with God the Father. we don't need, you know, like a father that we got to tell him all our stuff, then he's an interceder. No, we have Lord Jesus Christ, and we can directly pray to the Father. So, and that's maybe a lot of people don't believe that. I'm sure there's a lot of denominations, and they're like, "Well, I got to go to my father," then, you know. But no, you have direct access to the Lord. Verse 3. Withal praying also for us, that God would open us unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. See, Paul was in jail for preaching the mystery. And sometimes we get nervous because we'll look dumb if we would try to teach the mystery to somebody. And this guy went through all the perils and everything that we would definitely not want to go through, getting beaten, getting shipwrecked, and all the many things that he had to go to. And he was in jail for this mystery that we're teaching, that we want to teach. And he's saying that, you know, he wasn't in jail for prophecy. He wasn't teaching prophecy. He was teaching mystery. The mystery that was hid before the world began. The mystery that we're under grace. And that it's a heavenly hope. And that's what we have for today. And this was something kept secret that nobody knew. And then only through the Apostle Paul. And that's why he teaches these things. And when he says that he wanted an open door there, then in verse 3, you know, open unto us a door of utterance. That is him saying he wants to make the message known. He wanted the people to be known unto the people. That's what he was doing. You know, he wanted this to be known. And then in Ephesians 6:19, he says he wants an open mouth, meaning he wants us to proclaim it boldly. You know, he wants us to say this boldly. Say it to anybody, to everybody and anybody. Write it on Facebook. You know, people are online and Facebook, just write it out. You know, he wants this constantly to be in our minds. And in Philippians 1, 9 and 10, he wants open hearts, that men who heard it might receive it. And he's praying all these things, that we make the message known, proclaim it boldly, and that men who heard it might receive this message. Because this is Satan hates this message. He hates it with a passion. He don't want nobody knowing about the difference between the 12 and Paul himself. He don't want nobody knowing that Paul has new revelation and that it was nothing to do with Israel. And that it's separate. He don't like this because he knew it was his ultimate demise. He didn't even know about it. And now that he knows that his time is ticking, he hates it. And he don't want nobody he's just a hateful being, and he hates it. Just know that for a fact. So when you're preaching the mystery, and when you're preaching grace, you know you're on the right side, and you know that you're doing the right thing. And you know what? Let's see in verse 4. That I may make manifest. See, he wants us to make this manifest as I ought to speak. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:16. Now, I want you guys, we know this verse, but this verse should hit home. You know, this should hit home, this verse. Because when I read it, it's a strong verse. And you don't want to speak in another gospel. You know that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. You know, and the Lord don't want to speak in another gospel, only this gospel that we know. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, which is what the gospel we're teaching, I have nothing to glory of me. See that? This is Paul saying is none of his glory. For necessity is laid upon me. This is necessary. This is what we need to be doing. This is, you know, this is a need that's so great. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me, meaning I better watch myself if I don't be teaching this right here. I better be careful how I tread if I'm be teaching anything else. He says, woe unto me. I'm like, you know, that it's such a little verse, but to me it speaks volumes. You know, it's like, okay, if I don't try and teach this somehow, some way, if I don't represent this, or if I don't try and help this cause right here, this gospel that Paul is doing, then woe unto me. You know, I better watch what I do, because it ain't going to be pretty. Let's go back to Colossians. We're going to be wrapping it up soon. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That's, we know about that. The time is now. You know, now is the day of salvation. All men, God wants all men to be saved. Now is the time to do something. Whether it can be anything, you know, you could be funding somebody, you know, within the grace movement. You could be even little things that everyone does in our church, give people rides, or, you know, help each other out, whatever little thing, you know. But, you know, these men need to be quickened. You know, those who are outside of the body of Christ are without God, without hope, dead in their sin, and destined to eternal punishments. So if you're outside of that, and this is, you know, this is, we want to redeem the times for these things. You know, it's about speaking of our relationship with the unsaved. It's for them to understand the program of grace in these evil days. And in verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer a man. Do we know how we should, you know, answer every man? Sure. Is that a question that you can say honestly and say, can you defend the faith? Can you say, you know, this is God's word saying this, that we should know how we should answer every man that wants to defile the Bible, pervert the Bible, even ask a question. Be like, oh, so God wants us to do what? And you should be able to answer that. And God, and Paul's saying here that know the mystery. Know this program. Know this. Know what you believe. And to be able to teach it. You know, to speak with intelligence and understanding to the unsaved. You know, this whole sphere of grace. If believers are to serve Christ effectively and be able to answer every man, they need to accurately know the gospel of the mystery. They need the answers found in God's word rather than phony testimonies or feel-good messages. These feel-good messages, if you're not, you know, this is what help us evangelize to the lost and teach to the saved, you know, that we can be able to, and it's all through studying. I don't know a whole bunch of stuff, but the little studying that I do, I'm able to learn myself, and then hopefully you guys can, you know, I'm not the greatest speaker, as you can see, so, you know, I just want to make myself available, and that's all it's about. And, you know, I would gladly, if anybody else wanted to, you know, like, try and teach or whatever, you know, it's all for the furtherance of the gospel. It's not, if that's how I view things, you know, whatever's going to further the gospel the best, let's do it. So as long as I can make myself readily available, then, hey, that's what it is. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And these are going to be our last verses. So just so you, for your knowledge again, Ephesians and Colossians are companion books. And we're going to kind of skim through the verses here, and this is so you can know Ephesians 5 and Colossians 5 and 6 and Colossians 3 and 4 are kind of saying the same thing. Verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And we're going to kind of skip. We're going to kind of skim through these. So, verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, there goes a saying that was in Colossians. Let's jump down to verse 20. That's how we should pray. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's that serving and submitting and loving. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We should give ourselves to our wives. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonishment of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And we can stop there, but you kind of see that it's all parallel. So, and in that verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's just that love and submission. And I just can't thank you enough just for me being up here and be able to speak these. And it just, and just me learning off these myself, I'm able to go to my family and kind of teach these and be more bold, and my family sees it, and I'm totally grateful for that. And hopefully this kind of expounded on what we already know, and you can kind of see, you know, that it's just for edification, right? And if does anybody have anything that they want to comment or anything? Well, I know it's
redeeming the time means buy. So how do you buy time?
Oh, the buy time?
You buy time, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you ask people what they're going to do, what do they say? Oh, we're going to go kill some time. Mm. Right? We're going to go spend time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's spend time. We're supposed to be buying the time.
Buying the time.
The currency in this dispensation is time, not money. Mm-hmm. Right?
Nice.
You're selling your time for money.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're doing that, if you're a servant or a master or a slave,
yeah,
you're going to sell your time for money. You can also buy it at the same time by being a good worker, honoring the Lord.
No.
It's like all those things. It's a pretty cool concept.
Yeah. Definitely when you're serving the Lord, you're not losing out.
Amen.
For sure. Amen for that. So thank you for hearing me out, and hopefully this helps anybody who heard or anybody who's here. And don't let, and one thing I've heard say multiple times and I love saying is that don't take my word for it. Find out if them things are so for yourself, because this book is for everyone. And I'll close us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again that we can just get into your word. We hope that the Holy Spirit can guide these words into the hearts of men, whoever hears, women and men, and that we could be good stewards toward each other, to our family and friends, wives, husbands, servants, masters, children, fathers, and that we can be the best that we could be in Christ, and that it's Christ that liveth in us, and it's all for your glory. And let these truths be proclaimed throughout all the world, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.